years, old school, 17 years of that. It's Carlos. I'm just filling in for Felicia Cowden. She's over in Oahu fighting crime, big, crazy government, and the slow creep of the one world. No, I don't know. Actually, I don't know what she's doing over there, but she's attending some state, county, or federal meetings and getting some good information. So she asked me if I'd come in and pick up the phone. I would love to listen today more than talk. I just want to know what's been going on. I missed the old show. Been gone for almost 2 years now. Actually 2 years, sadly. But our number is 826-7771. So much stuff happening around the world. So much stuff on Kauai. If there's something on your mind you want to talk about, give us a call at 826-7771. And open up the phone lines for just about anything at all. Eric Cannon is on his way. He's going to be helping me out with the phones today. But last I heard, he was stuck in that Kapaa traffic. So that should be a little while. I'm going to spin some music for the first couple of minutes. Settle in and wait for your calls. And aloha, by the way, to Calgary, Canada, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Crescent City, California, Seattle, Prince George, Tucson, Arizona, Portland, Oregon, New York, Shizuoka, Japan, Lihue, Victoria, B.C., that might be one of my kids, Lihue, Hawaii, Victoria, B.C., that might be another one of my kids, Honolulu, Tokyo, Sakai, a lot of people from around the world. We've got a great online streaming music set up at www.kkcr.org, especially if you love Hawaiian music. I think it spins from about 1 in the morning our time till 6 or so. And you can pick that up anywhere where the web is streaming. I'm just going to play a little bit more music, settle in, and if you've got something on your mind, rest assured a whole bunch of other people do too, and they're probably too shy to call in. So if you could be the one to call in and talk about it, boy, we've got ISIS and Ukraine and all sorts of crazy stuff happening with the dollar and Swedish money rising 43% in one day, 83% rise in the cost of home on Kauai average in December. I found that hard to believe. I looked it up and verified it. Lots going on. So anything that's on your mind from far off distant fields or right here in Kauai, please give us a call. Bear with me because I'm a little rusty. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, sir.
I can still do it. That's fantastic. I still know how to push the buttons. What's on your mind?
Listen, hi, my name is Joe, and I'm glad you're filling in for Felicia. I'm sure she's over there doing for the welfare of the people of this island.
She's attending something big over there. I think it was a state-level thing. So.
I don't know if, excuse me, but did you see the paper today in regard to the proposed dairy at Mahalapu?
All I saw was the headline, Civil War, I thought that was crazy.
We all know what's going on in Mahalapu,
yes,
right?
Yeah, they're trying to get the dairy in.
With all of his manure-producing cattle and pollute the whole damn south shore there, literally. Now, I get the magazine. I've been reading this magazine for about 5 years. I get no other magazine except for The Atlantic and The Economist. A wonderful magazine. It covers everything. And I wish, I don't have a computer, but I wish somebody would get on the line for The Economist and look in the year 2013. I saved them and then I cleaned my house and I threw them out. But there were three or four articles in the past 2012, I think there was one or two, and then in 2014, there were about three articles dealing with the Dutch government, the government of the Netherlands, saying that we don't want to put venture cows on one piece of ground anymore. And the Dutch and the Danish produce a lot of food that they export. And they do a lot of dairy, of course. But anyway, if somebody would look those articles up.
I actually just took notes. I'm going to go do it tonight. So
great. Yeah. And you know what? Get keep my number. Get back with me.
What's your number?
651.
651.
3221.
3221. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
I do. Yes, I do.
My number is 635.
Uh-huh.
9382, and you can call me back, and if I get the information, I'll get it to Felicia. It's her show now. I used to do it, but I'm just filling in. But I'll flow that information.
I can make an article and try to get it in the Garden Island.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
So that's it. Okay. So The Economist or The Atlantic had some great articles
I only get two magazines. I get The Atlantic and The Economist.
Okay.
The Economist is my most favorite magazine, and in The Economist, it was either this past year about two or three articles, and I believe in 2013 I think there were two articles. But now, just look under the Dutch, under Nanette Holland and Dutch.
Okay,
Dutch.
Yeah, I got exactly what you're saying. Okay. So, hey, can I ask you one question? Do those lean left or right, or are they financial magazines?
No. I want to tell you, the Dutch are probably the most practical people in the world outside of the Japanese. The Dutch, all those articles dealt with the danger of over putting too many cattle on small areas and the problems that we all know that created.
Yeah.
Now, here's a country that made a lot of money off of dairy, and they're saying that, you know. Also, the Dutch know water. They know percolation. They know how much the soil can absorb. They go the world over. They're consulted by everybody except the United States of America and the Corps of Engineers, who know everything about water, and they really don't know shit. But the thing is, the Dutch came here sometimes in the 70s or 80s. There was a group of them, and they looked at New Orleans, and they said they would give the American government a free, healthy tip on what to do. The American government did not listen to them, and the Corps of Engineers did not do what they should have done. The Dutch know a lot about water and filtration.
Well, levees and dikes, too. And you mentioned New Orleans, and that was in the news a few years back with Hurricane Katrina. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it was all that casualties could have been avoided.
Point taken. I'm going to get on this. I'm kind of fascinated by it myself. So.
Good.
Yeah.
I think the Dutch ought to run the world for 10 years. Hey, have a good day.
Okay. Well, I know Iceland was one of the few countries that did exactly opposite of what we did in the U.S. with their banking crisis. They actually fired throughout and imprisoned some of the banksters, forgave debt and mortgage, and rebooted their entire economy. And contrary to what we're told in the U.S., it did not fall apart. It actually fell together, and their economy is thriving right now. That's Iceland. So, not the Netherlands, but anyway, Eric Cannon in the house, probably used his jiu-jitsu training to deal with the traffic in Kapaa. Do you have a mic? I don't know if we can. Can we give you a mic?
I do have a mic.
There you go.
I am. Yeah.
You're certified now.
Unfortunately.
Eric Cannon, my old wingman. All right. How's
unfortunately,
it going?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu does not work out on traffic.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Still working on a martial art to fight cars, but
Maybe Aikido would be a little bit better of a traffic martial art.
I gotta call up Steven Seagal, help me out. But
how you been?
I've been pretty good.
What's your thoughts on the dairy? Somebody just called in as you were settling in. Are you for it or against it?
They're saying that it's on ground that has a lot of clay in it. I heard that someone say that, so it's gonna be really hard for water to kind of get away from the area. So I think if there's a lot of cows there, there's going to be a lot of bacteria building up.
A lot of ammonia, a lot of nitrogen, and a lot of muck, maybe. But if you're out there and you are for or against the dairy, either side, we'd love to hear your thinking, your reasoning. 826-7771.
I would love to have some, like, local fresh milk, and, you know, that would be awesome. But
what I thought I heard, and I'm not Akamai in this area at all, but I thought they were going to be sending out the milk and the occasional meat to Oahu or a different place. It was not going to be processed on Kauai, but if anyone out there is knowledgeable in that area, maybe you can give us a call.
Oh, okay, then I don't want it.
So another couple of things up. There's some big developments, one in Kapaa. I can't remember where the other one was. And I was surprised. One of my longtime friends and listeners, Matt, I will not say his last name, was like... got his feathers ruffled when I was talking about it on one of the social media sites. But we do need housing here. If people are popping out babies, there's got to be housing, unless we're having like 0.92 children per couple, and then I think we'll average out. And I just made that number up. Yeah. But the point being, if we're having kids and we're anti-development, there is a conflict. Now, juxtapose that against the other side. I go for a walk in my neighborhood, and we probably 1 in 20 times see anybody actually living there. It's Princeville. So we live we live out behind Sandpiper, and there's just nobody there.
They're
all vacation rentals or second homes. So there are a lot of properties on Kauai that perhaps aren't being utilized to the best of their ability for the community. I just had a friend looking for a place to stay, and I think I got here in 87, and I think this is the worst I've seen it since 87. But back in 87, you had to advertise yourself in the paper. There were so few houses, and that was post-dot, pre-Iniki.
So wait, there's no Craigslist in 87?
Post-Eva. What was, I think it was Eva. Before Iniki.
Yeah, Eva.
So, yeah, it was right after Eva, a couple of years, but before Iniki. So it was such a small housing market that you had to advertise yourself. And people would call you up like, hey, I'm a groovy dude. I don't smoke.
They didn't use Craigslist back in the day.
They didn't have Craigslist either.
I'm just joking. Yeah.
So, I'm curious what people are thinking about that. Like, the housing's going up very fast. I've never seen a project go up as fast as I have the one by Princeville Foodland.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're hungry to get that going so they can build phase two of their shopping center.
One thing I know is that rent has just been increasing every year. The prices are just going through the roof. So it's getting very hard for the average person to just live on their own means.
I have a very good friend who's been here longer than me. He's been here over 30 years, maybe 35. And he's having to move. And he's a professional, non-drinker, non-smoker, quiet, single, not even dating, and he cannot find a place.
Yeah.
And he's got great contacts, so it's crazy, you know?
It definitely is.
It's crazy. What do you have any rooms for rent at your place, Eric?
Yeah, sadly, my girlfriend just took that other room, so I love having this great, nice place in Kapaa to myself, and then, it's getting really expensive, $1,200 for a place by myself, and I'm not making any money, like not saving anything. So it's like, it's getting really hard to make it every month. So I'm like, why don't you just move in with me and split it?
All right.
But I mean, I don't know. I was telling a friend, this definitely isn't the shining, amazing America that it was maybe 20, 30 years ago.
You know, my daughters all came home for Christmas, and, they're really stressing about their college. I hope they're not listening right now, because I'm going to drop some of my own personal thinking, which I don't necessarily...
We're talking about Destiny.
Destiny, Sachi, and Leela. Yeah, I'm busted now. But they were worried they didn't know their exact career path. And I said, first of all, I don't know how long we're even going to be able to pay for your college. This year we can. I don't know if we can help you next year. But I really suggest that they follow their passions.
Yeah.
And, not like... ceramics and jazz dancing or something, but I mean follow their passion in ways that are going to fulfill them, and maybe find a line of work that is pleasant rather than going for a total degree. Like, be a Renaissance woman is what I would love them to be.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that the college, the myth of the 4-year college degree landing you a job, I don't know if it's true anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. It must be a very different thing through the eyes of people under 40.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
We've got calls. 826-7771. If you guys call, we prefer to listen. We don't need to ramble on, but anyway. 826-7771. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. At the beginning of your show, you talked about the ISIS and what's going on in the world. And... It's so difficult now to watch the news on the TV, especially after what I just discovered in the last few months. I've been on the internet. It's a suggestion of some people checking some things out, and I'm totally convinced that my government is the terrorist. Our own government took down those buildings in 9/11. It was a planned thing. 9/11 kind of set the precedence for everything we're experiencing now. regarding what's going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, ISIS. We created that issue. And there's a new movie out called AE Truth 9/11. AE 9/11 Truth.
I think that stands for Architects and Engineers.
Yes,
for Truth.
There's 4,000, yeah. 3,000 engineers now who've signed on, architects and engineers, and basically said, hey, we need a new investigation.
I want to interrupt you really quick, just and then I want to hear you talk about this. But just for the listeners, Architects and Engineers for Truth, and the caller's absolutely right. I don't know the exact number, but it's in the thousands. And there are award-winning people with world renown in their fields in architecture and engineering that have come out and basically said what happened in New York on 9/11 broke the laws of physics, which can't be done, and they go in depth, and there are thousands and thousands. These aren't some crazy conspiracists, you know, skateboarding on Venice Beach. These are nothing against Venice Beach, but these are people from all over the world. So
exactly.
Please
and
continue, caller.
And Richard Gage kind of hedged this up. He's an architect, and recently, just before the November elections, they garnered, I think, 60,000 people's signatures in New York saying they wanted to reinvestigate the NIST report. The NIST report didn't even address Building 7.
I believe, and I'm not sure, I believe NIST stands for National Institute of Science and Technology.
Right. They wrote a report. They didn't even address this 40-story building that housed all the records and then you even have the owner of
now,
the
wait, that would be Building 7 in addition.
Building 7, which was the third building.
Which was the third building that wasn't even hit, and it fell down in its own footprint. And Mr. Silverstein, who had insured it for $6 billion with Double Jeopardy 3 months prior or 6 weeks prior, I can't remember, was caught on tape actually saying, we pulled the building. So
we
continue.
We pulled the building.
Yeah.
Yes. So if that building was demoed, I mean, to me it's obvious the other two were. You could have no buildings come down ever in the history of buildings has a building ever come down because of fire, because fire can't melt steel. If it was hot enough, the steel might melt or it might twist, but it's never going to fail like that. And
yeah.
So our government, to me, created this. They call it the second Pearl Harbor. They needed a second Pearl Harbor to rally the people to go to war. They blamed it on the Muslims, so we went into Iraq, we went into Afghanistan, but not for the reasons that we said we were going in. And there's another general caught on tape basically explaining this was all pre-planned for going into Iraq and Libya and then Syria and then Iran. And it's our government's plan to take over or just create havoc in the Middle East. So every time I turn on the TV now and I see this, you know, the terrorists are coming, the terrorists are attacking, this is America causing this. And I'm just ashamed and embarrassed to say I'm an American. When I do travel, luckily I say I'm from Hawaii, and maybe some people, especially in Europe, don't even realize Hawaii.
I know a lot of Americans that say they're from Canada when they travel.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, I just have to let the people know. And there's a guy on the internet now. His name is Ken O'Keefe.
Yes.
He summarizes this thing and explains it in a beautiful one-hour video on YouTube. It's Ken O'Keefe, K-E-N-O-K-E-E-F-E. And he puts it all together. He actually lived in Hawaii. He had an environmental company here. He was basically kicked out. He denounced his citizenship. I think he lives in England somewhere, but what a beautiful speaker, what a beautiful man who can put it all together and the reasons why. And I just try to let everybody know that Google that on YouTube or Google him and watch what he has to say. I wish everybody in America would. Maybe somehow we could.
Very interesting.
Change this.
Did you read 2 days ago that the lead investigator, I believe he was called the chief investigator in Paris for the recent terrorist shooting, committed suicide. The lead investigator, I cannot remember his name, but it's all over the news. Feel free to check, you know, left wing, right wing.
Yeah.
just crazy. Just 2 days ago, a gentleman that had a movie coming out in the next couple of weeks called Shade, which is about martial law and FEMA camps in the U.S., but it's a feature movie. He was just murdered with his wife and all his children, and no witnesses, no information on that. That just came out. So it's we're definitely in an interesting time.
It's dangerous to talk about.
You know, somebody actually, I retired after 17 years and passed the mic to Felicia. She's been doing a great job for the last two. And, you know, so one of my friends was saying, Carlos, you know, aren't you worried? You post political stuff on Facebook. And you know, you put yourself out there and it's all down. But, I just believe we all have to speak our truths. I don't believe in walking around angry or fearful.
Yeah.
But I appreciate callers like you that, you know, have done the research. And the Architect and Engineers for Truth is very hard to dispute. They're all people that have masters and PhDs or degrees in engineering or architecture, you know, far beyond the average person. They're people of renown. And all around the world, there's just such a feeling that the story that we got on 9/11 is not what happened. A lot of people here just say, hey, so what? It was, you know, 13 years ago.
And to rally the people on such a joke. And the other issue, too, are the other two planes. I actually have spoken to people in Pennsylvania who had been to that site right after that plane crashed, and there's no wings, there's no luggage, there's no people. And then the plane apparently that crashed into the Pentagon, there were no wings, no engines.
Well,
no,
that
no video.
Yeah, and there was a few people that had cameras going at gas stations within the vicinity.
86 to 89 people.
Yeah, and they actually, the U.S. government in various alphabet agencies got there within a half an hour, and all the surveillance footage was taken. And if you look at the pictures, there literally is no plane wreckage there. So, I mean, almost anybody with a brain would have a hard time disputing the pictures.
I think it was, yeah. Donald Rumsfeld had announced that apparently $1.2 trillion
was missing from the Pentagon budget.
And I think that's the office that got bombed. I'm not sure.
That is
sure
exactly the office that got bombed, yeah.
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 And
a lot of people don't know,
in America,
Building 7 actually housed all the records from the Enron energy scandal, the Oklahoma City bombing. It was emergency operations for New York. Just so much was in that building.
There's a lot of files that people want to
vaporize. Yeah. So, you know, that's government is a business anymore. And I don't know. You watch what happens around the rest of the world when their governments even try to do internet taxation or things like that. You'll get a couple hundred thousand people in the street or more. And we don't see those rallies in the U.S. It's interesting. Maybe we've just been trained, Pavlovianly trained. I don't know.
I had a conversation with my friend about this. You know, I'm 24 now, another kid my age, and he was saying, like, you know, well, if you're going to complain about stuff like that, then you should just go to another country. And that's not right. I think that's completely opposite the way our founders of this country would have thought. You don't just go somewhere else if something's going wrong. You fight for what you believe is right, and you fight.
Get your hands in there and switch it around.
Yeah.
And what country would you go to? Iceland? I mean, all these other countries now are complicit. They must know what has happened, especially the people that control those countries. And you know, obviously they don't speak out. Right now we've had an attack in France, and maybe that's why that lead investigator was killed. Maybe he was on to something, or about maybe to complain about maybe those terrorists.
Well, and then closer to home,
America set that up.
Closer to home, just last week we had a family. Well, there's a foster family in Washington that refused flu vaccines. Now, when I initially read this, I did not have all the facts. And it's important to have all the facts. And part of those facts are when they took the foster children in, they signed an agreement that stated they would be complicit with the foster agency in their area's policies, which included flu shots. So they knew what they were getting into. They probably didn't read the fine print. Most of us don't. But they were basically told not only if their foster children didn't get the flu shot, but if they didn't get it themselves, they would have the foster children taken away. There was a family back east, mother and father, and I believe three kids, using a mineral supplement that was not approved by the FDA, And somehow CPS, Child Protective Services, or FDA, found out and actually took the kids away from the parents, just for that simple. So I think what's happening is all these test cases are being instigated around the country to see how, what our limit is, where our limit of pushback is, and what we do about it. And we don't seem to be pushing back.
It's really getting to the point where people just kind of switch to the next channel when they see something they don't like, you know?
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting point, Eric, because there's a lot of people I know that just say there's not a lot you can do, so they've moved away from politics, more into spirit, and they just try to come from a place of love, focus on kind of higher thinking processes, you know, more heartfelt, more Pono approach to life.
Yeah, another kid my age said the same thing today. He was saying, you know, I've kind of given up on the future of this world and our advanced culture. I'm just going to love where I live and try and have the happiest life I can. I'm like,
oh, yeah, relocalization.
Nice,
yeah.
You got to care about your society.
Well, interesting.
Just wanted to say for the caller that called in maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago, sorry we didn't get your call. If you want to call back, we'll take it any time.
You should throw something at me, Eric. Sorry about that, caller. Well, thank you. So, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Yeah, it's, I want to
it's
check
there.
That out.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
And Ken O'Keefe is a great...
I've watched the Ken O'Keefe interview, and you know, I've been doing it for so many years, I don't even need to read any of this stuff anymore because I just get it. The bottom line is, what are we going to do about it? We have to live authentically for ourselves, come from love, be as educated as we can, but we can't be in fear or anger as we're walking around. So I guess...
I just think everybody told the next person, and we all, you know, whenever we had a chance to just let everybody know really what's going on and what happened. Maybe, you know, all those people that are on the, you know, from Joe Moore to everybody on those stations who are just the puppets who just talk about this crap on the TV as if the terrorists are coming. Maybe they would get it.
Well, thank you, Paul.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, thanks for bringing these subjects up. Appreciate it.
Definitely some great talks. And you know, if you have anything else to talk about, please call in later in the show. We have another person that just calling and waiting for us. So, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes.
Aloha.
826-7771, KKCR, another hour and a half. It's 4:33, and you're listening to Felicia Cowden's Kauai Soapbox Show.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
All right. I'll go make this fast.
All right.
I'll go make this real fast, because right now I'm working. Yeah, I've been watching the council report. What are you trying to do? Try to ban cooking outdoors, smoke like that? I don't think it's a good idea. It will never pass. Come on. Everybody does a lot of cookout around here. Everybody cool little pig, everybody do this.
Oh, when was this? I missed this.
What was that?
I missed this. I know they made the outside fire pits illegal. You had to get a license for those.
The helicopter's coming down, man. I can't hear you guys already, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to know about that. Okay, bye.
Okay. The helicopters are coming for him. Yeah, I know a couple years back there was legislation passed that you could no longer do an emu or a fire pit or anything like that without getting
a permit.
Yeah. So if this is cooking outside, that's controlling our ability to cook at the beach. I mean, it's just very interesting. When do we push back? I don't know. Do we have another call?
Yep, we do.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Special star.
Aloha, this is Felicia.
Hey, so people want to know, what are you doing over in Oahu?
Right now I'm doing something really amazing. That's not my main point for being. Well, actually, I was going to take that back. I'm checking out a lot of the great things they've got going on over here that's similar to what we are doing on Kauai, and right now I'm in Kaneohe, and it just feels like backcountry beautiful.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
So really amazing things here, and I'm going to be learning a lot more of the really beautiful, progressive things that they're doing, even here on Oahu, to be living within the Hawaiian land management system. But my main reason to come over is for the opening of the legislature, and we've got lots of exciting things that are going on together with that. Tomorrow, and Bandana Shiva will be there among...
Wow, I did not know that. I completely missed that.
Yeah, she's going to be here the night after Dr. Stephanie Senef is speaking over here. I'm having a fun dinner with Lico Martin and Laulani Teal is playing, and John Cruz and Walt Kaoli and Walter Riddy will be there. There's you know, a lot of really good connection happening here, and sort of getting the mana built up for tomorrow. And Makana will be playing at the event too, at the opening of the legislature. And so many people are here, kind of connecting and making sure that our legislators feel really supported by the people, so that they will feel backed up by the people as much as they do, if not, we hope, for more than the corporations and the lobbyists. It's people power, empowerment going on over here in Oahu.
I actually was invited by former State Representative Mina Morita to mm-hmm. attend the opening of legislation. It must have been at least 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that was the first one. I met Duke Iona, so that would have probably been the first term of former Governor Linda Lingle, perhaps. That might be the same time thing. But but it's quite amazing. It's amazing how big it is, and it's amazing how small it is, if you know what I mean. I don't know if that was today or tomorrow that the opening
tomorrow.
Is. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so, it was very nice. I got to go around and meet, you know, all the different senators and representatives at that time. And, wow, it's quite a system. You know, we have this evolving from tribal politics to this gigantic pit where you have people on all the different levels of seating, and they're down doing their thing. So hopefully they're working for the people and representing the people's desires.
That's right, and we're over here saying, hey, we are the people, and we care, and we are focused and paying attention, and we are behind you in helping our empowerment grow. And I know Josh Green has got a bill coming out that is largely like what 2491 is, where it would be requiring people to, or companies, to stay with their spraying and to give distance from schools and hospitals. There's many issues that will be coming up, and something that I'm really about is making sure we keep home rule strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been doing a great job. I've been hearing just great feedback about your show, Felicia. So it's nice to come in here on occasion and get to sit in the chair. I miss it.
It is wonderful being able to share a show with you. It's great. And hi to Eric. And so
hey, Felicia.
Just wanting to say aloha to everybody, and hopefully many people will be coming tomorrow, and people will know that they can go to that capital.hawaii.gov website and really be able to follow the issues closely and make sure we keep Hawaii pono, or make it even more so, really.
Yeah.
There and keep working towards it being the people's state.
Well, go get them.
Thank you.
All right, Felicia. Travel safe.
Okay. Take care.
Love, Felicia.
Bye-bye.
We have somebody else?
I think we do. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for waiting. Yeah, go ahead.
Of course. Carlos, I'm calling in to maybe bring to some of the people's attention on the island that aren't aware of a new bill recently that was passed by the council, which was an extension of the ADU, which was going to end this year, December the 15th, but we were able to, with the help of the commission and the council, have it extended for 10 years. Now, many people have heard this maybe, or a portion of it, but they don't know that there's certain conditions for that recertification that they're asking for.
If I could jump in really quick for the listeners who don't know what the ADU stands for, and there are a few, maybe you could explain that.
It's additional dwelling unit on people that have property. Originally, it was called the Ohana, where you have a piece of property, and it was large enough to put a second home on it, and then it was changed to additional dwelling unit.
Now, some people have a problem with that because they say it's going to be exploited and used for tourism or other things, which you may or may not be in favor of. Other people, it's the only way that they can actually continue to have their family as it grows, or their aging parents or relatives come back, are able to actually live and be a part of the family on the property, hence the name the Ohana. So,
Exactly. But it can't be exploited because the people 6 years ago when it was extended, they needed to become certified by going into the planning department and going through different sections of that department and receive a facilities clearance form. So it was only those people in 2006 that actually got the forms. Nobody else can now. It doesn't open it up to anybody or speculators. It's only those people. And those people then have the right to have it extended for 10 years. But again, they need to go into the planning department. They have a table there with two forms that you need to pick up. One form is information, another form is on the property, another form you need to have your signature notarized, and you have to have the facility clearance form that I mentioned that people had gotten years ago.
So that means that they come out and somehow certify that it's been built to code and it's falling within the space limits, and there are some requirements like what kind of kitchen you could have, etc. So they're, it's a way of pulling people out of the shadows or the gray areas and getting them legit. It also probably brings in some type of tax revenue to the county, I would imagine, by having these people come out of the shadows. But what happens after the 10 years? Do you get rid of your ADU?
What do you mean, get rid of it?
You're saying it's extended for 2 years. Does that mean...
10 years.
10 years, I'm sorry. Does that mean people can apply to have an ADU, or does that mean...
Oh, no. No, they can apply right now if they have the facility clearance and all the paperwork turned in. But why I'm calling in is because many of the local people, especially, that I've talked to aren't aware that it's taking place. They just heard it was passed and that the cutoff date was extended. But they don't know that there's also another date, February the 15th, that they have to apply to make sure that they're recertified.
Okay, so fantastic. And what county building do they go to? The planning department or the driver's license?
The planning department, and there's a number I can leave.
Fantastic.
If people have any questions, it's 241-4052.
Well, you are just so smart about this, and do you care to share your name on the air?
It's Diana Hayden, myself, and my husband, Christopher Hayden, and Jesse Fukushima were the ones that helped it originate years ago, and now we're the ones that spearheaded and were able to have this passed this time.
Okay, and if you were explaining to someone why this is a good thing in a couple paragraphs, how would you explain it?
They have an opportunity to build on property. It's valuable. It gives them a chance to share it with family. It gives them an opportunity to, as you were talking earlier, there is no housing.
Yeah.
There is nothing available that people can afford. So this is a treasure. The people that have the opportunity to build another dwelling on their property, this is a real treasure.
Now, are there restrictions, like it has to be a family member or anything?
No.
So they could actually use it as a rental, say if their parents were going to retire, or say their parents were 10 years away from where one might expect them to start needing some additional care, so they wanted to open that place up as a rental in the meantime, that's something that would be allowable?
Yes, there's no restrictions on the dwelling itself.
Okay.
They're encouraging people just to use this so that it doesn't sit dormant and is not put to use, because these lands would never be able to be built on, and of course the county, as you mentioned, couldn't collect property tax from something that is sitting on vacant land and there's nothing there.
Well, that is fantastic. So the number for information is 241-4052, and where will that be dialing into specifically?
The planning department.
That's the planning
department. There's someone taking calls for the ADU information. But if they go to the planning department, they're very helpful. They've set up a table, and they're informed. They even have a big sign across the top where you can take your paperwork. What I suggest to everybody is that whatever paperwork they do fill out, have copies made before they actually turn it into the planning department. So they have this when it comes time. You see, the facility clearance form that they had gotten years ago, if they can't find it, then that could be a problem, because even if this law was extended without any recertification involved, they could never really go into the planning department without that paperwork to build.
Okay. So this is actually for a very special group of people who lucked out in 2006 and did the proper paperwork.
Correct. And
okay.
There's hundreds of them. There's
okay.
quite a few, hundreds of them, as a matter of fact. But what we're finding is that many of the people either aren't paying attention, or they haven't followed it. They're very, some older families I speak with, that they're not opening emails, or they're not reading the paper. And I'm just really concerned that all this hard work that we put into it may be for a few people that are going to miss out. And that's why I'm calling. And I'll probably call Felicia's program next week, because each time that we can get this word out, it would be helpful. Now, there was in the Garden Island a very small article that even myself I didn't read, announcing it and mentioning it. So hopefully we can get some more attention through the Garden Island and also through the radio. But the radio is powerful. I think a lot of people listen to KKCR.
And what's even more powerful is Akamai listeners calling in with information like this, because we can't be aware of everything. So thank you so much, Diana.
I know.
That's
even you
wonderful.
Didn't know.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It's such a priceless thing to have, an opportunity to have a piece of property that you could build a home on. I mean, if you had a piece of property and you wanted it for your daughters that you were mentioning in college and they want to come back, wouldn't
yeah.
it be lovely if you could have that home for them, so they wouldn't have to deal with the rent or not being able to come back and spend time with you if that's what they decided. So
yeah.
this is very important. This
yeah,
is very
well,
important.
Thank you so much, Diana. And please do
You're
call back
welcome.
On Felicia's show. 241-4052. The planning department is in the same building where you get your driver's license or
Correct.
Renewed, and next to the old gym department store building. That's been a while, but they had a great crack
yeah.
seed place there. So,
but they can even go in
yeah.
if they're in town and the paperwork is there and they
yeah.
can ask questions. I just try to stress that I'm seeing some people pick up the paperwork, fill it out. They don't realize that they have the facility clearance form has to be attached to that.
Okay.
And if it's handed in, I don't know what might happen. It might be very, very complicated. But again, the deadline is February the 15th. So who's ever listening that may have not been informed about this, please look into it.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Carlos. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right.
That was
well,
a great call.
It definitely was. Any callers out there that have anything on their mind or just want to talk to two people, call in.
826-7771. Yeah, it's interesting. Being off the air, I still read probably literally 200 or 300 articles a day. I go to sleep wow. about 2 and I wake up about 7:30 in the morning. It's going to catch up with me someday. But there's a lot going on out there, and the U.S. is just kind of bending over, and it's very strange when you watch what's happening. There are there's two states right now, and I can't remember what they are, but I'm absolutely positive because I just read the article. There are two states that have legislation in right now to take away your driver's license if you can't make your student loan payments.
Wow.
And I believe it was during the Bush era, and it might have been the Clinton era. I either one of them, I'm no great fan of either one of them necessarily, but there was legislation passed that you can never get rid of your student loan. It goes with you forever. So think about that when you're sending your kids off. Make sure they're doing something they love. But you can't... what's the word? Disperse, dispel, diffuse? I don't know. You can't get rid of it. There are 10 states that are giving driver's license to, I'm going to use the provocative term, illegal aliens. That will irritate some people. But people that are not from the U.S. coming into states that are not even participating in taxation or revenue generation, they can get driver's license. There are two states that if you have an unpaid student loan debt in default, you will lose your driver's license, making it even harder. And the use of prison convict labor is very much on the rise as well. So interesting time in our country. I think Eric's got a call for us. Let me see here. 826-7771. And really, anything at all you want to call in and talk about, we'd love to hear it. I love all the interesting calls. Surprised there's not more happening about the dairy on the air, because that's quite a story. There was some postings on the web last week. There was a meeting, and there was a very provocative shirt. And it said, "I prefer a cow or a pig over a howley any day."
Oh.
And that was, I thought, wow, that's taking quite a stand. Of course, there were hundreds of responses from all ends of the spectrum, and a big discussion on what the word howley means, etc. But it's definitely a hotbed issue. The people behind some of these hotbed issues, GMO, dairy, etc., that might be more pro it, seem to be utilizing some very high-end PR and propaganda firms, because the stuff they're doing is very brilliant. It's sad, it's very divisive, but it's brilliant advertising. You got a call for us?
Yeah, we have one person on the air, and we have one person on hold.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Did it me?
Yes.
Okay, I called you up about a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
About the burning rubbish or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that in the council, they try to ban them. What about the kind of guys who cook outside like that? What is that supposed to be?
Oh, so they might not be burning cooking food, but they're trying to ban burning rubbish. I'm going to have to look into that. Burning rubbish.
Yeah, they've got to really define them, because I don't know, man, because if nothing like no burning or nothing, I got gas grill outside, it could smell the smoke, smell like steak.
I'm going to have to follow that up and pass it on to Felicia next week, because I don't know about the legislation, but I don't doubt it. We've been doing some real crazy stuff. I heard right at the beginning of this council session there were some real big moves to more limit the external participation in the process, so people coming to the meetings would have less of an ability to have impact. But this is very interesting. I'll look it up. Burning rubbish at the county council level, and does it apply to food? So thank you for that information.
All right. Thanks, Carlos. Nice
All right.
to hear your voice again.
Hey, it's nice to be here.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I'll pop in every now and then when Felicia or Eric are out. So we got another call?
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Number two, you're on the air.
Hey. Yeah, I was interested in that you were talking about the dairy and what was going on over there. And it was real interesting, the decision when they were doing the water testing down there with the Department of Health. And there was Mr. Okubo was the head of the, I believe it was the Department of Water. It might be the Department of Health, I'm not sure. But he was the person that was making the decision about the water over there, or was here to inspect it and make sure that Surfrider was getting their numbers right on the water over there.
Mm.
And so then the dairy took theirs too, and they came up just really different. And Mr. Okuba said, well, you know, hey, let's do this differently. You take a sample and I'll take a sample, and we'll share half of yours and half of mine, and you take yours to your lab and I'll take mine to mine, and we'll compare what we got out of the things. And,
well, yeah.
And then in the next week, they let Okuba go, or whatever happened, I don't know there, but they got a new head of that department, and then before the results came out, the permits were approved to go ahead with the dairy.
Wow.
I guess really my question would be, and is there anybody that is responsible for saying we made the decision because it seems to be environmentally safe enough to go ahead and do this, or who was that guy? Is it the planning department?
We need to find out the man or woman that signed off on that, is what you're saying.
Well, just all of a sudden, it's like it comes down from Oz that the permits have been approved, and nobody really knows who approved of it, or is there anybody with any accountability as far as reason?
Hmm.
You
know, are you, may I ask if you're pro or anti the dairy or undecided?
Oh, no, I'm totally against the dairy as far as there, maybe anywhere on the island, but as far as there, definitely I'm against it. You know, it just doesn't seem to make sense. The water body is also is already so polluted. I think it's the worst one on the worst stream on the island of Kauai. And they're planning on putting, what is it, up to 2,000 cattle in the close vicinity to that area. And the soil's made of clay a lot where there'll be runoff. And I don't know. They don't seem to be able to answer all these questions very well either. Oh, and now that their permit has been issued for them to go ahead, they're going to do their own environmental impact statement. But I hear that the people who made the plan for the dairy are also the ones who are going to do the environmental impact statement.
Well, that's convenient.
Well, because they say we're going to do it on our own, so we're doing this as a gesture.
You know, I wonder about when people take labs and everything, I mean, take test samples for labs, how trustable the lab itself is. Because a lot of, like, one of the major laboratories that was doing bee research and coming out with some pretty shocking and frightening information was recently purchased by Monsanto. So it's interesting. Who owns these labs? How much can the data be skewed? How do we know we're getting fair data? So I was liking your story when you said, you know, if two people could, you know, from two different sides can both take samples and know that they're going to get a fair sampling. You know, for me, more important than the outcome is the fair and legitimacy of the fairness and legitimacy of the process. You know.
Yeah, but then something happened to the man that decided to make that test, and he was no longer in the same position that he was before. He was either elevated or fired, or I don't know what happened to him. I was curious to see what happened because he was the one that went there and said, oh, no, we got to make another test, and the results will be
Well, I have got that on my list to do a little reading on tonight.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not real computer savvy, but I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, maybe we have an Akamai listener out there who will call in.
Okay, hey, and one other thing before I go is the other guy a while ago was talking about the Middle East and America, you know, and the World Trade Center being rigged up like that.
Sure.
I mean, they weren't talking about the World Trade Center, but there were a group of people, you know, what was it, 25, maybe 30 years ago, they were calling they were putting together a project for a new American century.
Yes.
They called it.
Yeah, neocon think tank, Project for a New American Century. And I believe it was Pearl Wolfowitz.
Cheney
was involved. I know Pearl Wolfowitz and one of our, there were six or seven of them that were very much in the news.
Rice. Rice was involved.
I can't remember that. Yeah. But it was a big topic on the show because I was doing the show back then. And, you know, people were like, you're a nut. That's a conspiracy theory. Anyway, you know, it's just business.
Going on.
Yeah, just business. That's conspiracies means breathing together. A bunch of people doing business and breathing together in a back room making deals.
Okay.
Tribal politics.
Okay. You got another caller waiting, so I'll get off.
Thanks. 826-7771. Eric, you got someone for us?
I certainly do. Thank you for holding.
Hello?
You are on the air.
Hi. Okay, so like as far as zoning it from Mahalapupu, is that basically they got with the person that in the planning department, there's a position open. So if you want a zone or some sort of a permit, all you have to do is do it online, and then if it doesn't get dealt with within 21 days, it automatically gets issued. This is coming from one of the people himself in the planning department. So maybe that's how permit got issued, and now they got the go-ahead to do the dairy. So there's all these, you know, backroom deals, and you're right, it is a conspiracy. As far as burning rubbish, there's not supposed to be any bonfires, and there's not supposed to be any, you know, burning rubbish, and obviously for air quality reasons, it's pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll take some marshmallows and be like, look, see, we're cooking. So there's been a couple places where I have lived in it, and the air quality, I mean, the smoke just drifts from the beach straight into people's homes and just kind of lays there, like in an inversion layer if it's not a windy day. And the reason why they're doing that is they want to make way for more development and more cars. And I just think it's ridiculous that the planning department is even being allowed to operate
and they're handing out all of these permits like candy and looking the other way because they're paid. And I think it's disgusting what is happening to this island. You know, now with this break here, they're bringing in, you know, hybrid cows from somewhere else. And this island is turning to, well, you know, doo-doo.
Yeah. Well, at what point, is it our responsibility? At what point have we just been trained to assume that good people will be in these positions respecting the law?
And if there are some citizens that are willing to come forward and sue the planning department and the county of Kauai for not, you know, just like Monsanto has been suing Grove Farm, I'm sorry, it's the mafia, okay? Sue me for that, for saying that. You don't know my name anyway. But we need to come forward and sue the county for not enforcing the laws. There's got to be some group and some attorneys. You know, they were willing to step forward on behalf of the GMO bill for free, pro bono. Why can't those same attorneys come forward and sue the county for not following its own laws and rules?
Well, I think the system is set up to be so expensive that it's very onerous for the average person to even muster that type of money to get the legal support. It's, you know, but it's built into the system that way. So
yeah, but there were some groups that were willing to come forward and do at least give pro bono advice for the county to defend 2491 against Monsanto, which was suing the county. For, you know, having the law, putting it into law.
Mm.
So, what about those same lawyers?
Your call out is just saying, hey, is there anybody out there that can help with the legal background that would have some muscle to get in there?
The planning department needs to be sued. I mean, they're not doing their job. They, you know, we've got Russ Gower and Mel Wicozo / Hitler, whatever. I'm sorry, I can't say that. You know, I've seen the way that he handles these county meetings. He's like a total fascist, Dick Cheney lookalike. I don't know. The way that he acts, he shuts everybody up. Nobody has anything to say, and it is all for Grove Farm and these big, giant conglomerates that are coming.
Do you get to actually go down to the meetings on occasion and watch them?
I watch them on TV.
On TV?
I won't even dare show my face. There's no way. I know how things work here. There's brutality.
So do you think you would be personally in danger or financially or business-wise in danger?
Personally, financially, physically, everything.
Hmm.
In danger. When people come forward and they stand up against these extremely oppressive forces that are there, the only thing that they care about is making money. That's it. And they are... they're like a bunch of vultures, and they're getting ready, and they're just laughing at all the stupid locals or Hawaiians or whoever it is that is just selling this beautiful piece of paradise, you know, acre by acre. It's disgusting. And they're laughing at Kauaians, and it's really sad.
Well, I hear the pain and the passion in your voice. I try to avoid epitaphs like Hitler and other things just because it tends to make people shy away. But I understand the passion of where you're coming from.
Sometimes you got to, like, call a spade, and it is what it is, isn't it?
It is the state of things on this island, this state, this country, and the whole world right now. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but you know what? I really am trying to approach it from a more, I hate saying spiritual, but just a more overview of, like, okay, how am I acting at home? How am I acting with myself? Where am I being authentic? And just starting with these small steps. For me, I left the radio show, and I'm just trying to get more into, you know, I think it was Clayton Kubo the other day said, are you doing it on Facebook or are you really doing it out there? And so it's time to really do it. We all got to get the rubber on the road. So thank you for calling up. That's a big part of it, is just being willing to speak out on the air and share your thoughts on this issue. It's a pretty big one.
You know, any lawyers out there willing to sue the county to get them to start doing their job and enforce the law. rather than fire people in the planning department to make it easier for contractors to break the law.
It's interesting on a talk show like this, I find, and I've found over the last 17 years, that almost without exception, the people that call in, it's probably, Eric, maybe you'd agree, about 90% of the people are the people that are unhappy with something. Very few people are calling in when they're happy with something.
You don't have too many people saying lots of praise and happiness. It's always someone in a bad mood.
Or people that will just call in and explain, hey, this is a good thing and here's why. They just kind of put their heads down and, maybe go with the status quo. So it's very interesting. But thanks for having the guts to call up and put it out there.
Okay, mahalo.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Aloha. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A Kilauea.
Halfway through
the show. It's just after 5 o'clock. And it is hot in this radio station. I don't know. Did we lose an air conditioner?
We lost all of the air conditioners.
I think I've lost 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Getting a little sweating going on. Spinning around my chair, getting a little cardio. Do you got some calls for us?
I do have a caller that wants to go on. Just one thing.
Yeah.
A couple callers that wanted to ask a couple
questions.
First one caller wanted to say they're very sad the Hanalei Pizza is gone, and they're just sad.
Oh,
all right.
It's coming back.
All right, it's coming back. Second one is when you mentioned that some states were taking away people's driver's license, those two states, for not paying back their student loans.
Yes.
Well, just about anyone that's moved here from another state was wondering if it was that state that they moved from. So do you know which two states those were?
Gosh, I have it. I saved the article to reference, and I forgot it was going to be on the show. But my number is 635-9382, and I will find the article if you feel like calling me in the evening. I always love calls after the show. So 635-9382, and I will track down that article easily, and I can give you the information of the two states that are taking away driver's license for debt. Are we heading back toward debtors' prisons? And the 10 states that are making it super easy for non-citizens that are outside of the whole legal system of being here, the Hawaiian situation notwithstanding. And anyway, give me a call, 635-9382, and I'll find the article, and I'll be able to give you a reference point so you can check it out. Because trust, but verify first, then trust. That's what I say. Anyway, so you do have a call? Go ahead, caller. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Carlos. This is Ann.
Hi, Ann.
We've talked for probably the last 16 years, off and on.
All right.
That clues you in. I was a teacher originally, Kalaheo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I'm at Wilcox.
All right.
Anyways, myself and Dina Morales Fontana were on Felicia's show a couple weeks ago, I think. It was during Christmas break. Anyways, I just wanted to let everyone know, because I was also listening, that I have something positive. I wanted everyone to know that the ILEAD Charter School got through their first round. Like, they got the first approval. So now we're on to the next.
You know, I actually was very involved in school politics for a long time. I was PTA president for a couple of years and SCBM member and all sorts of stuff. So I know what you're talking about. But a lot of people don't know when we have the ability to have charter schools here, but it's not like you can just go, hey, I'm starting a charter school. It has to meet these criterias and make it through. Maybe you could explain to people just in a nutshell what that process is and why this is such a great thing, because it is a great thing.
Sure. It's actually, even from the past, just this year, it got even more stringent. Mm. You really had to know your stuff. You had to know, first of all, the HSTA Teachers Union business. You have to be aligned with the HSTA. Like, your teachers can't work more. You have to be completely aligned with all of it. Along with that is they wanted to know exactly what kind of educational programs or projects you were going to use.
So what your teaching model was, and there's all sorts of different teaching models. Yeah.
My gosh, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There was, like, so many different parts. It took a long time, and it took a whole hui of us. There was Dr. Connie Blackwell, some teachers. But the thing that I think helped this time around, because she tried this by herself last year and it didn't get approved, is that last year it was kind of too mainland, and this year with the teachers on island, we were able to make it more Hawaiian, more Kauai. And along with that, we had the mayor's support, Arakaki support, and Mason Chalk was there from the county council at our meeting.
And he's a breath of fresh air, isn't he?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. I've known him forever because his son and my son are the same age, and they're both about 18.
Yeah. I actually went to one of his meet-and-greet events, and I've been on the air for 17 years, and even before that I was pretty active, you know, in the community politically stuff, just following stuff. And you just don't get that, you don't get inspired very often. You hear stuff and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to lean that direction of this. But I can say Mason was actually very inspiring to hear him talk. So I see a great future for him, hopefully.
Well, and you know he speaks from his heart.
Yeah.
You can see through the actions ever since he had his accident, what he's been involved in, that he is a person of worthwhile existence.
Well, I've got a couple other callers, but real quick, what would you say the core, the juicy nugget at the center of the ILEAD charter school program is? That makes it, that's going to set it apart.
Okay. The ILEAD, I'll tell you what it stands for, because that's an acronym. International Leadership. The kids help form their own curriculum. They're partners in their education. Entrepreneurship. Arts. Design thinking are what it stands for, and then it's going to be very project-based, hands-on, and cultural-based education.
Well, do you have a pen or pencil by you?
Me?
Yeah.
I can, just a second.
Okay.
And then also, just while I'm doing that, let me tell your listeners, that if they're interested in, if they have kids, that will be opening in 2016, so if they have kids and they're interested, they can do an intent to enroll form either on Facebook or on the web at
ileadkauai.org. I'm going to go track you guys down on Facebook and read about that and see, because it sounds pretty neat.
And, okay, yes, yeah. And now I have my pen and paper.
635-9382.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I have this somewhere from years ago.
Yeah, but I'd love to talk with you because I've got some projects going down in Honolulu I'm very excited about that might awesome. Fit in with that somehow. I'd love to help and learn more.
Cool.
Thanks.
Awesome. I look forward to talking with you.
Okay. Aloha.
Bye.
Thank you so much for waiting, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Aloha, caller. You still there?
I am.
Are you calling from the future?
What?
Are you calling from the future?
You just had to turn your radio down, but it's all good.
It's
sounds
a
like you
did. And bright.
All right.
I just wanted to give you some positive about what's going on the island. There's Allison at the recycling place. I had an issue with dealing with some e-waste, and she went above and beyond to make sure I could properly dispose of my e-waste, and I just wanted you to know that she's a great person.
So is that Allison Fraley?
I don't know. She
I think that might be her. We were lucky to have her on the show a long time. She is such a good energy person.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, wait. Tell people what e-waste is.
I was going to say, was that like electricity waste? Is that
the old electronics?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just a television.
Yeah, but if you throw your television in the dump and they crush it and take it out to the whatever poor place, thank you very much, that place, for taking all of our unconscious waste. But if you just throw it in, there are metals and toxins and heavy metals, toxins, all sorts of yucky stuff that can get down in the water. We have these e-waste events, and it sounds like that Allison hooked you up to a proper channel to get rid of and dispose of your electronic television.
I'm telling you, I don't want to tell the details, but she just went above and beyond to make sure that I was able to properly dispose of it.
I love that. And where did you find her? Where was she?
What?
Where was she so other people that might need this?
I don't, you know, the phone number is, you know, they announce it, I think, on your program.
But what's the, is she like the solid waste recycling, or where does she work?
I don't know, but it has to do with...
Where was the recycling place that you went to deliver your e-waste?
No, I didn't know. I called her on that phone number that's always announced about the second Friday and Saturday of the month for e-waste.
I've got to get that phone number.
She personally answered the phone and made sure I could, you know, get some
with it. Well, fantastic. But what I hear underneath everything is you're calling with some positive news, and I love that. And I've actually had the pleasure of interviewing her, and she's like an environmental elf.
We need to all talk about the things that are concerning us.
I love that. I feel like 2 points better.
We're all disseminating really good stuff to make sure you take care of this beautiful island.
Mix it all up. Mix it in. Yeah. Make sure we get the good fiber with the bad stuff. Thank you so much, caller. That's great.
Thanks.
And thanks, Allison, for helping with the
e-waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
All right. 826-7771. We've got 45 more minutes. And I promise you, if you're thinking about it, somebody else is too, a lot of people, and they're too shy. So you got to be the one to call up. 826-7771. You can listen to Eric's voice. He's got a really special voice when he answers the phone. It's like getting a massage. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. So I want to talk about Mahalapu.
Okay.
And Mahalapu, I don't know if anybody knows this, but they had a great battle in Mahalapu in the 1300s. There's a lot of bodies over there. So, you know, if they do make this dairy, the cows are going to be able to see those spirits wandering the place, and the cows ain't going to give milk, that's for sure. And the second thing I wanted to say is that, you know that when the people, they come here from America, we don't call it the mainland because we never was part of it.
Sure.
They come here and they make their own laws and what they want, like these Clean Air Acts, you know, like no fishing in a certain area.
Yeah.
No burning rubbish. I was born and raised here, 57, we're going to be 58 years of my life, and I see a lot of changes. And when I go to the burial council and all these councils, planning commission, county council, everything that they plan and talk about, that they want to do, it's already a done deal, because all these meetings I've been to, they don't even listen to the Hawaiian people or the people that come here. You know, they already get their hands in a honey jar, and they cannot get it out.
And it's,
so anyway, that is what I want to talk about.
Well, it's so interesting, because there are places in the U.S., in America, and I appreciate you making that distinction, because you're absolutely right, and it's still very much unresolved, but there are places where other groups or entities are actually having so much effect that they're creating zones such as Sharia zones in Detroit, where they're allowing these laws from outside of that area to come in. And here in Hawaii, there are very clear laws and practices and cultural beliefs and understandings, and they really should be integrated at the core level. Absolutely. And it's amazing that they're not.
And the shame part about it is that our own local people, they're just, you know, sitting on the fence, and, you know, most of them want to be Americans, and they don't even know about what is their rights all about. And, you know, I read the whole Queen Liliuokalani overthrow. I read about there was treaties. You know, America totally desecrates our people and our culture. And so, you know, and for other people to come in and tell us how to live, cannot make fire and things like that, it's just not right, you know?
Yeah, and for a lot of us who live here, it's very uncomfortable, because it's obviously not right. And to take a step sideways, with respect, we're not even following the laws of the U.S. We're breaking our own laws. So we're forcing the laws onto another culture, but we're not even following our own laws,
right,
except where they serve the benefits of those in power or financially well-off, et cetera. So...
Yeah, we're
a long way off from being resolved, and there are a lot of people not from here that feel deeply similar to what you're saying, even though they don't have a drop of Hawaiian blood.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. It's about the ones that have and the has not, you know, the rich and the poor. It only breaks down to two things now. Either you're rich or poor, or you have or have not.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm happy that the Akaka bill, personally, I'm happy that the Akaka bill keeps being delayed, because I think that's kind of a bait and switch. And so, it's, you know, hey, we're going to give you a little bit, but we're going to take a lot away that you're not going to even realize. So, but at least that hasn't been pushed through. They keep trying every couple of years and put a little different spin on it.
Yeah, they try to take away your rights, your birthright. The Taco Bell is OHA, and OHA is created by the state. That's how they're using the Hawaiian money, and most Hawaiians don't know about it. They just close their eyes to it, this whole thing about OHA.
Well, I think the U.S. government is probably in default billions of dollars for the airport, Crown lands or Queen's lands that are being used for military, airport, et cetera, and they're not being fairly compensated. And I think there's a feeling that if they got the Akaka bill pushed through, they could make that all go away.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for calling in. Okay. And, you know, the Evie out there in Mahalo, can you pronounce it properly for me?
Mahalapu.
Yeah. The EV out there, you know, definitely that's a whole other area that needs to be respected. So thank you.
The whole area is a lot of dead bodies from the soldiers from the 1300s when they first did that big battle right there.
Well, that's new information for me, and thank you. I'm going to go follow that up tonight. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Right. Thank you.
826-7771. You got anything, Eric?
Yeah, in respect to that last call, I'd like to say, a bird may eat ants, but when that bird dies, the ant eats the birds. Karma is a lesson learned in time. You can cut down a tree and you can get 10,000 matchsticks, but it only takes one of those matches to burn down a forest. So, in other words, everything that might have happened here in history might be considered a tragedy, but hopefully in time, everything can be made right.
Yeah. 826-7771. We got a call?
Yes, we do.
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hello. I'm a care provider on the west side. I am speaking as an individual, not representing my place of work. But I can tell you something good, and that is that people are really starting to look at what is causing me to be sick and what are my rights, and tell me more, and let's research this more because it's new to me, too. And It's expanding every day, the amount of people that are coming in and saying, wait a minute, I have rights too, and what can I do? And I think that's really reflection of a big movement across the world, actually. But my question is, I have followed up on some studies, and a distinct weed study, which found the 5 same chemicals in Waimea Canyon Middle School every single time, and they used Hanalei Elementary School as the control group, and they still showed a positive. Waimea Canyon Middle School in Hanalei showed historical from cane days chemicals, so not very many, not compared to Waimea Canyon Middle School. And my understanding is that it's the law is being broken. The fact that these chemicals, these restricted use pesticide chemicals, are being found out of the bounds of where they're being used in the school, in other words, but that's against the law. And I just want to know if anybody has anything to say about that. Am I right? I don't know.
Well, I think we've spent the last decade talking a lot about it, and I think you are right, and I think there are laws that are in question. It's a matter of enforcement, and then also those that come into power here and then at the state and federal level too, and the revolving door of politics and big corporations such as Monsanto has a tremendous amount of people working in the Obama administration. I don't want to vilify Monsanto because there's a lot of companies that aren't as big doing the same stuff, but it is all about money. But at the same time, it comes back to the teacher that was just calling in earlier. We have got to be educated, because if we're not, we don't even know what our rights are, what's appropriate, and you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy time, but it's a time of personal responsibility, too. As a care provider, have you seen things staying the same, getting worse, or getting better out there as far as exposure? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Empowerment of people?
Yeah, yeah.
More numerous.
The atmospheric mojo is happening, so you're not supposed to be saying what you're saying, I guess. Let's try one more time. I have no connection with you. Let's try it again.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So you're back.
Okay, so the more numerous amount of people that are coming forward and saying, nobody asked me if they could spray me, and what are they spraying? is really just really ballooned and exploded, and there's a lot more people wanting to know what's happening to my health and why are we being exposed to this and why didn't anybody ask me this. That's really good news.
Right. And there's
bad news.
Go ahead.
Is that, well, this is nothing new, but it's that I can't get, I've been in touch with all the state agencies that should respond to that, and they haven't. And I saw today, I probably saw five patients who I think are ill, one of them with cancer, from pesticide exposure.
Wow.
And I see, this is probably the most I've ever seen in one day. I probably see more like 15 to 20 a month. And, no state agency will accept any report from me.
Wow. Well, we have our marching orders, and we can see the battle, and it comes down to, are we victims, or are we being victimized, or are we participants in this? And,
one of the problems is not that we're not educated, it's that they're using 80 restricted use pesticides, as most of us know, and when you take different mixtures of those pesticides, we're talking more than a trillion different chemical combinations. So how do we educate ourselves on that? A trillion different chemical combinations that have no name, but when they're mixed together, they make, it's like you don't mix ammonia and bleach because you know what can happen.
Yeah.
You could die from that. But you can use them separately. And so with the 80 different chemicals and all the little different combinations of each, you know, surfactant and each, you know, each part of the chemical is being mixed together, and even the toxicologist, the medical toxicologist, doesn't have any sort of response to that. You can't figure it out.
Well, we've got other callers. So the bottom line, I'm hearing you saying it was just a particularly bad couple of days. You saw a lot of people recently, that your personal feeling, not speaking as a representative of any establishment,
right,
but as a personal individual, you've noticed an increase. And the good thing is you're saying more and more people are aware of how their health is being affected. So they're waking up. Well, that's great. Yeah. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Aloha.
Aloha. I love hearing the calls from the west side out there. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to address the Hawaiian gentleman earlier that called.
Okay.
About the fires. And also, it is interesting about the fact that they're putting a dairy farm where fecal matter is going to be, you know, desecrating that land. I agree with him 100% as far as the bonfires are concerned. In my experience, it's mostly been what I have noticed, tourists wanting to have a bonfire, construction companies, you know, illegally burning, clearing wood. And now we've got this wonderful biomass plant, which is really going to make things really bad for the island as far as air quality is concerned. Unfortunately, we can't have the two coexist now anymore. But I think it is absolutely disgusting that every single place where they found bones, they just basically put a sewage. I feel like they put a sewage right close to it. And I want to ask anybody that's listening that owns these big, giant construction companies, how would they like it if maybe we put a sewage plant or build a house over a grave? You see all of these graveyards with gravestones, you know, we've got the Chinese cemetery, the Japanese cemetery, the Catholic cemetery. Would they like it if we just went ahead and just kind of bulldozed over those gravestones, put a toilet and built a house on top of it? No, they wouldn't like it. So I don't understand why and how it is so easy to do that to Hawaiians. Why is it that we won't even recognize that is an official grave site? And I'm not Hawaiian.
Well, I don't even think it's Hawaiians, though. I think we're literally having empathy trained out of us by television and Hollywood and the media. We're being desensitized, and we're trained like Pavlov's dogs to react to stimuli.
I know. We think we should pose that question.
Yeah.
Would the Catholic Church like it or whatever church like it if we just came and just kind of bulldozed all those grave sites and just, you know, put a house and a toilet over it or maybe a septic system because it's the same thing. We need to think about that. And unfortunately, the fire burning, we can't live, unfortunately. This is a modern world now. We can't pretend we're living in a time when there was plenty of clean air and plenty of clean water. We're in a modern world, and they only put that law into place as a token as far as the bonfires and stuff. Just as a token law, really, you know, to satisfy EPA rules and laws so that they could make way for more construction.
Hmm.
And, you know, grow farm and... There's a lot of Hawaiians that are just so pro-grow farm, pro-GMO, and they're always like, oh, Haole, don't tell us what to do. Grow Farm, Monsanto, Syngenta, these are all Haole companies, and they're telling Hawaiians what to do, so I don't know.
Well, let me ask you just, and don't read into this question because I'm just asking you provocatively or curiously, the last election really reflected that the majority of the people on this island, at least those who chose to vote, were voting for the status quo or actually even reversing and heading back to more freedom for these big companies. So what do you think that is saying about Kauai? Are they just running an effective PR machine?
Yes, that's a very effective PR machine. We've got Halle Barton in the house, and we all know what happened when the Diebold machine came during the Bush years. That wasn't an election. That was a selection, straight up, okay?
Are you talking about the Diebold voting machines?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was 100% pure voter fraud, okay? It was voter fraud. That's what it was, and I believe that is exactly what happened. There was a lot of issues with the absentee ballots, but nobody wants to look into it. Why? Because everybody's making money on it. I tried to talk to somebody in the county about the biomass thing where they're basically cutting down trees and burning them to boil water. Where is this water going to come from? Just spin a turbine? Might as well just open up a coal-fired plant. It's archaic. It's archaic. It's like we're stuck in the dark ages, and people... Here it seems to be, or a lot of redneck states, I hate to say, they're stuck in the dark ages. They want to act like they live, you know, country, but then they're driving around in a big old truck with an SUV and, you know, air conditioning, you know, a Pier 1 import. So, we're going to make up our mind of what? What age are we stuck in?
What age are we stuck in? We do seem to be going backwards.
Well, you know, I can say, a lot of people may say that we're in the modern world today and this is the new age, but I can tell you, 200 years from now, they'll be saying the same thing.
Well, caller, we're going to take a little break. I feel your passion. The question is, why aren't people out in the streets like they are in Europe when they just try to raise an internet tax? You'll get 200,000 people.
We've been put down and we've been shut up, effectively shut up. They've gotten rid of a lot of the pro-GMO activists. They've threatened them with law enforcement. They've done everything they can because money, which all of you people that listen, that read the Bible, I just like to say, what does it say in the Bible? Money is the root of all evil. For it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And what I see what's happening is money is trumping.
Now, are you thinking Christians are doing it worse than other people, or were you just using that as an example?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're the ones with the money and the power because they control the people's hearts and souls and minds and thoughts, and therefore they control their actions. I mean, that is how the island was conquered. They went in first with the missionaries.
Okay, well, you brought that back in and brought it around. Well, listen, we got to do a little station business. I feel your passion. Thank you for calling. I'm sure you've voiced feelings that other people have as well. And I'm just curious how this last election went down. It really took a lot of people by surprise. A lot of other people were very pleased.
Yeah, Grow Farm. Mm-hmm. No proposal.
But that's a reflection of the majority of the people that are going out to vote. So either. Some people really have the wrong feeling about what's important, or other people are spending the money in a really smart way to get the voters voting the way they want. It's crazy.
There's people. They said you're going to lose your job and you're going to be destitute and you're just a bunch of hippie Haoles from the mainland and blah, blah. You know, it's just a typical, you know, Dick Cheney, Halliburton style tactics.
Well, I was getting angry for a while, and now I'm just trying to get into gardening so I can stick my hands in the dirt. And then after a year or two.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, after a year or two, I hope I can come back to the radio show.
Okay.
But I'm sitting in today. But I feel you, sister. I feel
all
your
right,
passion.
Better.
Okay.
I think I'm going back to the radio.
Okay.
Bye.
Aloha. 826. And what season is it? It's the season of the witch, baby. So we're going to take just a momentary break, reboot, go do some meter readings, and
see you in a few minutes.
When I look out my window, every stitch.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihai.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Inspiration Journal proudly presents the 11th Annual Kauai Wellness Expo, this year celebrating men's wellness, January 24th and 25th from 9 to 5 each day at the Kauai War Memorial Convention Center in Lihue, featuring The Frank DeLima Show, supporting 35 years of service through the Frank DeLima Student Enrichment Program, a nonprofit organization helping students to live healthier lives. Enjoy the comical genius of this Hawaii living legend. Laughter is wellness. More information at hawaiisinspiration.com.
Ahahui ki Vila Hawaii o Mo'i Keha presents the Ka Moku o Manokalani Po Pa'ani Makahiki, Saturday, January 17th from 9 to 5 at Kapa'a Beach Park, featuring ancient Hawaiian games, awards, a Kauai-made craft fair, cultural demonstrations, displays by community groups, and fresh local food. Makahiki season recognizes the time of year from November through February when Lono, the god of agriculture and peace, rules the land and is honored through friendly competition. All participants age 5 and above are invited to compete in multiple games. That's Saturday, January 17th at Kapa'a Beach Park. For more information, contact Julie at 635-9028 or email makahikikawaii@gmail.com. All monies raised are used to perpetuate this great community event.
Kauai Economic Opportunity Incorporated offers mediation services. Mediation is an informal, confidential process of conflict resolution led by a team of neutral mediators. The goal is to arrive at an agreement whereby both parties agree on a resolution. Mediators do not give advice, rather they assist the conflicting parties to fairly resolve the conflict. More information about the KEO mediation program at 245-4077.
And how nice to hear Sandy Swift's voice. It's been just years and years and years. When I hear her voice, I just kind of smile. Because when you run into her around town, she's just always got it going on. And boy, she can sling out a mouthful without messing up a single syllable. Sandy, we love you. Anyway, we're back. We got about 15 minutes left. Jazz with John is coming up. He's got his wheelbarrow. He's bringing in what looks to be about a cubic yard of music, so I don't know how that's going to translate. But, John, watch out for the door. Yeah, it's a little wide. Oh, Eric wants his mic back.
Hey, I want to be on the show, too.
I want to be on the show. Eric, what are you tripping out on the news lately? What's ringing your bell?
You know, I heard about this stuff that happened in France, and I almost don't believe it. You know, I guess it happened, but, no, it just seems almost too perfect for some people, you know, like a perfect plan. I don't know. They're saying in France they're announcing a war on terror. Really? Come on.
A war on terror, and they're doing this was all about internet free speech. Mm-hmm. Purportedly, the parties involved were upset with Charlie Hebro or Hebron. I can't remember the the name of the magazine. I thought it was a person for a while just because I was out of the loop. But it was actually a magazine,
a
humor and
magazine.
Satirious editorial magazine that offended a certain segment of the more extremist Muslim population, purportedly. Yeah. But now what's happening is they're coming out with these draconian freedom of speech rules. So they were, the magazine was attacked because it was utilizing freedom of speech, but now it's going to be more draconian, more restrictive in its ability to use the internet and the media to get things out speech-wise. The Pope also just came out and said, freedom of speech, great, but you cannot disparage a religion, which kind of goes against freedom of speech, especially for those people who don't believe in religion. So a lot of interesting stuff going on. And as I said, the chief investigator just decided the day into the investigation to kill himself. So that's a little smelly.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that going on. We got a phone call?
Yeah, we do.
All right. Maybe it's our chemtrail guy.
All right. Aloha. You are on the air.
How's it going?
Hey, good.
It's doing great.
I just want to read a little bit out of a history book for people because it's good to be informed.
Okay.
It is.
In 1786, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams met with Tripoli's ambassador to Great Britain to ask him by what right his nation attacked American ships and enslaved American citizens. He claimed the right was founded on the laws of their prophet and that it was written in the Quran that all nations that didn't acknowledge their authority were sinners. And not only was it their right and duty to make war upon these sinners wherever they could be found, but to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim slain in battle was guaranteed a place in paradise. Despite this stunning admission of premeditated violence on non-Muslim nations, as well as the objections of numerous notable Americans, including George Washington, who warned that caving in was only both wrong and would only further embolden their enemy, the United States Congress continued to buy off the Barbary Muslims with bribe and ransom money. They paid Tripoli, Tunis, Morocco, and Algiers upwards of $1 billion a year, way back then, okay, over the next 15 years. And you can check on the Congress their expenditures. It amounted to 20% of the United States annual revenue. Jefferson was disgusted. To add insult to injury, when he was sworn in as the third president of the United States in 1801, the Pasha of Tripoli sent him a note demanding an immediate payment of $225,000 plus $25,000 a year thereafter. That was when everything changed. Jefferson let the Pasha know in no uncertain terms what he could do with his demand. The Pasha responded by chopping down the flagpole in front of the U.S. consulate and declaring war on the United States. Tunis, Morocco, and Algiers followed suit. Thomas Jefferson, United States Minister to France, opposed the payment of the tribute, as he later testified in words that had particular resonance today. In his autobiography, Jefferson wrote that in 1785 and 86, he successfully endeavored to form an association of the powers subject to habitual depredation from them. I accordingly prepared and proposed to their ministers at Paris for consultation with their government, articles of a special confederation. Jefferson argued that the object of the convention shall be to compel the piratical states to perpetual peace. Jefferson prepared a detailed plan for the interested state. Well, you know, this timing that this stuff was happening was around the time when Abraham Lincoln was preparing the proclamation, to declare slaves free. And it was all tied in because all the white, there was 1.5 million European and Caucasian slaves in the possession of the Muslims. So they were trying to free everybody from slavery. And it appears that this is a tactic of the Muslims. And I doubt it's changed. So people beware.
So
this is not a peaceful religion. Only amongst Muslims is it peaceful.
I was trying to get to exactly how it was reflective of your beliefs or values. Like, where are you coming from? Like, you are kind of concerned about the advancement of Muslim mindset across the planet. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm seeing even in our governments, we have county councils that make new laws continuously. When and you cannot be ignorant of the law. Okay, so in order to be caught up with all the laws, you'd have to practically spend all day long, every day, studying them to know them. And so where is the freedom, you know, where our original Constitution afforded us those liberties? And unless we get back to those original laws of our Constitution, I think that this country could be very well doomed.
This experiment could be a failed experiment.
I think that it would discontinue.
Yeah. Well, there are places in the U.S. that are actually allowing, in certain towns, they're allowing the high school football team to base their practice schedules around Ramadan or Muslim belief systems, etc. But, you know, isn't there something in the U.S., freedom of religion? So if there's an area that wants to practice a specific religion, is that we should... What do you think?
They are equal in nature, and where one espouses love your neighbor and the other espouses kill your neighbor.
But they're not really doing that.
I think that there's a big, great difference there, and it would be foolhardy to accept. And this is historical in nature. For 200 years ago, we were dealing with the same thing. I mean, we're paying a lot of our country's expenditures out to Muslim nations for oil. It's the same thing. So it appears that they are relentless at, you know, performing this way.
Yeah.
Well, and, do we have another call, Eric?
Yeah, we do. We have about five minutes left.
We can't practice our Christianity if we're Christians. They've taken God out of everything. And the Muslims say, you know, they're just standing in the background laughing. Because when they get paid power, then their laws are, you're going to have to be governed by their laws. And this is the country where we've had, you know, the congruency all across every state. The laws are pretty much afforded us the same way, where now we're having to deal with a violent faction.
Well, it's sure interesting. It's interesting what's
That's
happening.
Why we should all train martial arts. But we have one more caller before
hey,
the
well,
end of the
thank
show.
You for the history lesson. And I actually remember reading something about that many years ago, and I'm going to go home and check it out. So it was Tripoli initially.
Tripoli, Algiers, and all those. And okay. I know the records stand true in the Congress about it. So
I'll go check it out. Thank you, caller.
If you feel like paying ransom, then allow it to happen.
Freedom isn't free.
All right. Thank you, caller.
Aloha.
We've got Jazz with John coming up, so we're going to let this be our last call, and we'll get some music set up to fade out. We'll have the County Council report. Thank you, Felicia, for letting me fill in. It's always an honor to be in here. I love it, and I love listening to all you Akamai people out there that call in. It takes guts, and good for you for calling in, because a lot of people are probably sharing the same thoughts. So we got time for one, possibly two, but we're going to cut it off at 5 to 6. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you so much. I know your time is running down. Aloha, guys. This is Aurelius. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Just big shout-out of love to the whole island and all the whole world that's listening. I know there's not much time. First of all, thank you guys for doing what you do, because there's so much, you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening on this island.
Sure,
and around the world. And there's also some bad stuff, yeah, and it's scary, but you keep it uplifted, you know, You guys do a great job of keeping a sense of humor in all of it. And I think that's really important, because, you know, if you're not enjoying your life, if you're letting the bad guys get you down, then you're letting them win. So we got to appreciate how much beauty we have on this island and be so grateful for every freedom that we have. Couple things. Number one, dairy. I've been listening to the show. Any big enterprise that puts money before the land, it's automatically, you got to question it, in my opinion. And, you know, like, if people were patriots to their land, like they're patriots to their country or to a flag, then none of these corporations would get away with, you know, bottom lines that sacrifice, the, you know, the health of our land. So, no, small farming, community-based economy, that's what we need. We don't need anyone to come in and take 700 acres and be like, guess what? We make cows now. You know, it's, you know, are they guaranteeing that they're not going to be antibiotic, this, that? You know, people need to ask those questions. So there's that. For me, You ask the question, no on dairy. Secondly, on keeping things positive for the whole island and the whole world, again, thank you. You guys always put a positive spin on stuff, and you can talk about very serious stuff and get good information out there and still be light in the heart. And it's only the heart that's going to save this world, because we all know there's bad stuff happening.
Well, now, I also, oh, you got one last thing?
One last thing.
All right.
To the previous caller, all due respect, but there is a war on Muslims right now. Every single religion is responsible for blood. Do not single out the Muslims. This is not you can say what you want about organized religion, Catholics, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. But do not make it a Muslim thing. I don't think that's a good idea. This is a people, you know, there's good people in the world and there's bad people in the world, and we need to support the good people and educate the bad people.
We can all agree Mormonism is the problem. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
You know,
Eric.
I'm not just making jokes. I just want some laughs out there.
All right, caller.
All right,
with
aloha.
That,
thank you for calling.
We're going to say aloha, and I will not see you next week. Felicia will. We're going to leave you with this little song from Eric, who just felt it was appropriate.
Aloha.
Coming up next, the insufferable, amazing, quintessentially awesome Jazz with John. We'll see you next week. Don't worry, be happy.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. Landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy.
Don't worry, be happy.
I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy.
Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this.
Don't worry,
it will soon pass, whatever it is.
Don't worry, be happy.
I'm not worried. I'm happy.
And you are listening to KKCR Holloway, KAQA Kilauea. Great show, guys, and here's the County Council Report.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council Report for the week of January 19th. There will be a committee meeting on Thursday, January 22nd. It will be at 9 a.m. in the Council Chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has on their agenda Bill 2568, amending the county code relating to integrated solid waste management, and a public hearing was held on this bill on January 14th. The Economic Development and Intergovernmental Relations Committee has on their agenda Bill 2569, amending the county code relating to electric vehicle charging stations. Public hearing was also held on this on January 14th. The Budget and Finance Committee has on their agenda Bill 2566, a bill relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015, revising the amounts estimated in the Solid Waste Fund. This is for the Department of Public Works Solid Waste Disposal. This is for consultant services in the amount of $95,000. Public hearing was held on this on January 14th. Also on their agenda is Bill 2567 relating to the capital budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015, revising the amounts estimated in the development fund. This is for the Kaloa-Poipu intersection improvements, and the amount is $80,750. Public hearing was held on this on January 14th, 2014. The Committee of the Whole has a request from Council Chair Raposo for the Managing Director and the County Attorney to provide the Council with an update on the administration's fact-finding, investigation, and plan to address matters pertaining to the agricultural dedication process and the grading, grubbing, and stockpiling process. For more information, visit